The first reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. A reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke. Though I was their husband, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Now we'll read the Psalms responsively by whole verse. Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains shake in the depths of the sea.
Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble within its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day.
The nations rage and the kingdoms shake. God speaks and the earth melts away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, regard the works of the Lord, what desolations God has brought upon the earth.
Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Now the second reading comes from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 to 28. A reading from Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by His blood, effective through faith. He did this to show His righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that He Himself is righteous and that He justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. We hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law.
Our gospel this morning is from John 8, verses 31 to 36. The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The Gospel of our Lord. On October 31st, 1517, Augustinian priest and professor of moral theology, Martin Luther, challenged the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church by publishing a list of 95 theses and posting them on the door of the chapel at the University of Wittenberg in Germany, where he taught. He wrote these theses in the hopes of beginning an academic debate in response to the corruption he was experiencing within the Catholic Church, especially the need to pay indulgences to the Church in order to be granted forgiveness of sin. Luther truly struggled with the beliefs and dogma found within the Church. His spirit was crushed, and he felt a great distance from God. In his eyes, the Church was turning away from Scripture and God to power, greed, and money. Luther spent much time alone in his room praying and reading the Bible, looking for hope in the word that had carried him throughout his life. He finally found that hope in the words of Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 25 that Greg read to you this morning. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. In hearing those words of grace and promise, Luther was reborn, and Scripture took on a whole new meaning in his life. Originally, tradition and hierarchy were the spiritual authority in the Catholic Church. But now, Luther understood that the Bible and the words within it were the true sources of spiritual authority. Luther felt the freedom of the gospel and the freedom of Jesus Christ. He wrote the 95 Theses not to start a new church, but simply to bring to light the corruption of the church in hopes of reforming and renewing it, in hopes of enlivening the faith of churchgoers and the leadership, in hopes of rebuilding a relationship with God through the witness of Jesus Christ. Within 2 weeks, word had spread all throughout Germany about this priest who was challenging the spiritual authority of the church. It should come as no surprise that folks all over the world are struggling in 2020. We are overwhelmed. We are overwhelmed with the pandemic, politics, protests, injustice, oppression, hate, and greed. Businesses have been shuttered, and the doors of our churches were locked for 6 months. I wonder what Luther would have thought if he was alive in 2020, if he was a witness to the events that have shaped our year. Would he sit down at his computer and write another 95 theses, lamenting the sin and struggle that our world and the church is facing? And instead of posting them on the door of a chapel, would he post them on social media instead? How quickly would the news travel? Remember, it is a 24-hour news cycle nowadays. And would he be considered a conspiracy theorist or the purveyor of fake news? Or would his theses be considered an authentic response of freedom and truth, of reformation and renewal in a world that is seemingly tired and broken? The contemporary meaning of freedom is to be able to speak or act without hindrance or restraint. Basically, we think of freedom nowadays as being able to do whatever we want, whenever we want. David Loos, however, suggests that according to Scripture, this is not true freedom. It's rather another form of bondage, this time to the vain pursuit of actualization through self-assertion and self-gratification. And that understanding of freedom not only results in bondage, but death. This meaning of freedom creates an individualistic sense where we are separated from our neighbor and looking out only for ourselves. Remember that greed that I mentioned earlier? This freedom denies a relationship with others and a relationship with God. The freedom that Jesus speaks of in our gospel reading this morning from verses 31 and 32, where it states, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free," is a different type of freedom. In the eyes of Jesus, to be free is to know and trust that God is here right now. It is to know that God is present in our lives, offering us a relationship of unconditional love through the grace and mercy in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No matter the mistakes we make, no matter the sins we commit, God offers us the amazing gift of grace that never needs to be repaid, leaving us the freedom to make a difference in the world, to love one another as we have been loved, and to live in community with one another. There is no room for individualism if we know the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. The church of today is in a tumultuous time, and I have heard some folks compare these times to the years of Reformation, to the years of change, upheaval, and renewal of over 500 years ago. Over these past 7 months, the doors of Zion have been closed. But that does not mean that the work of the church has been stagnant. Zion has found new ways to love our neighbor. They have found new ways to reach out to one another in love and care, living out the work and word of Jesus Christ. God is continuing to work in our little church, revealing God's self through our love for each other and our prayers, even though we are not physically together. Luther's thesis started a reformation that changed the world as we know it. Luther believed that God was not a deity to be feared, but that God was a God of love, a God of faith justified by grace. The Bible had not been accessible to common folk back then, as it was written in Hebrew and Greek. So Luther translated the Bible into German so that all could know of God's unconditional grace and love. His love of music and liturgy renewed the church, giving way to more meaningful worship services. He believed in the power of the sermon and the many beloved hymns that we still sing today. Both our opening hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," and the hymn of the day were composed by Luther. Luther was steadfast in the belief that the Bible was the true source of spiritual authority. Salvation could not be reached by any amount of works that one does. Salvation could not be reached by any amount of money that was to be paid. Salvation is reached by faith through the unbelievable grace of Jesus Christ. This shaped the core of Protestantism and our Lutheran beliefs, which we still hold today. True freedom is liberating. True freedom sustains us in times of struggle, like that of 2020. And that gives us the opportunity to continue to live in the true freedom that God provides, acknowledging our relationship with that loving God, which sustains us through this life and the next. Amen. Our hymn of the day is by Martin Luther, and it is "Lord, Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word." It is from the ELW, hymn number 517.